You're listening to Packers Talk Network.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
We've waited for our chance at revenge, and now it's here. And with that, I'd like to welcome you to this week's episode of Lemps Talk and Pack. I am your host, Chris Lempesis, coming to you once again from my basement Packer room in my home in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, here not to break down a Green Bay Packers game, but to preview an upcoming Packers game. That's right. Your old pal Chris figured I'd give you some bonus Lemps this week. I mean, it is the playoffs, right? So I'm here to give my thoughts on the Packers versus the Seattle freaking Seahawks NFC divisional round playoff game, 5:40 p.m. Lambeau time Sunday at the Mecca of professional football on Fox. Our old pals, I say that with more than a little bit of sarcasm, Joe Buck and Troy Aikman on the call. I feel like Allen Iverson. Preview? We talking about a preview? A preview podcast? Not a game podcast. Not a game podcast, but a preview? This is fun. I'm like turning back the clock. This used to be my old thing. My bestest friend in the world, Adam Summers, and I, this was our thing when we did the old Bag of Donuts show. We were always the preview podcast. We like being the last word, you know, before the game. Of course, now I've shifted, and now I'm the first word you hear, or hopefully the first word, or one of the first words you hear after the game. So it's fun. I'm a little bit rusty, but I'm looking forward to this. I haven't done this in a while. So yeah, before we get into the fun, got to do the shameless self-promotion, right? Social media, email, iTunes, all that good stuff. Twitter, Lemps, MKE, at It's Just Chris Now. Facebook, Old Bag of Donuts, OL Bag of Donuts. The email, nobody sent me an email for a few weeks now. I'm sad. Old Bag of Donuts, OL Bag of Donuts at gmail.com. If you want to send me your thoughts on the game, predictions, I'm open to it. And for anybody listening on iTunes, on the wonderful Packers Talk iTunes page, hey, maybe leave a rating. 5 stars. We love 5 stars, don't we? We do. Maybe a comment. If it's good. If it's negative, again, as I always say, keep that shit to yourself. But if it's positive, hey, leave that too. That'd be great. Okay, so as previously stated, I am here to preview the game, give you my thoughts on how I think Sunday is going to go. Take a look at the two teams. I thought before we really jump into this, let's kind of maybe do some nuts and bolts type stuff. Some sort of quick hit facts. This will be, of course, the fourth time these teams have met in the playoffs. The previous three are all memorable for one reason or another. Right? Starting with the Al Harris, Matt Hasselbeck, we want the ball. We're going to score. Al Harris, pick six in OT. That was great. Then we go to the 2007 season, the 08 playoffs. Divisional round, Lambeau Field, snow globe game. Ryan Grant runs for, was it 226 yards? But fumble twice to start the game. Seattle goes up 14-0, and then Ryan Grant just goes apeshit. 226 yards, I think, rushing. Packers win that, advance to the NFC Championship game. I don't remember what happened the next week. So those were the good, and of course, the last of the three was, I don't know, was it the worst outcome I've ever seen in a sporting event? It's up there. No, I'd say, I guess the Packers losing the Super Bowl to Denver. That'll always be the worst. That's probably the second worst, though. I didn't think anything could top fourth in 26. And then losing to the Seahawks in the 2015, well, 14 season, but 2015 playoffs. Blowing the, was it 16-0 lead? That was brutal. I don't even want to go too much into it, but I will tell you this. I have never to this day, I've never seen like a highlight package. Do you know what I mean? Like if I was watching the Packers the next season and they did like a quick, well, throwing it back to the NFC Championship game last year, they showed highlights in game. I saw them. But I've never seen like a full highlight package from that game. It just, it's burned into my brain. I don't need to, and I don't want to. That was the worst. Like, lose. It's weird, because losing to Denver in the Super Bowl, I was a sophomore in high school, right? So, like, I reacted like a sophomore in high school would. Like, I was kind of childish. I begged my mom to let me call in sick to school the next day. She obliged, which was great. The Seattle game... So I was 30, what was I, 33? Yeah, I was 33 at the time. I did not handle that loss like a 33-year-old should have. At one point, I was so mad, I flipped a chair over in the apartment my now wife and I had. And then I drank way too much and was just, I went on an epic Twitter rant. I was tweeting angry stuff at fans and... How pissed off I was about the... It was just bad. It was bad. It was really... It was basically... I would think it's about as far rock bottom as a reasonable adult can go after a sporting event. It was dark times, man. Because that was it. They were gonna win that game. Rodgers was going to get the extra week to rest his calf. They'd go into the Super Bowl. One, I still think they would have won. They would have beat New England. And Rodgers would be polishing a second ring. Didn't happen, though. Why am I still talking about this game? Let's move on. Move on. The Packers have won the last 8 meetings at Lambeau Field. So that's got to have you feeling at least a little bit good. Last time they lost to Seattle at home was in November of 1999, which is obviously notable because it was Mike Holmgren's first year as Seattle coach, Seahawks coach after leaving Green Bay. I think it was a Monday night game. They hammered the shit out of Green Bay. I remember that. It was 27-7, I believe. So that was fun. If you are the gambling type, the line is Green Bay -4, the lowest of the 4 weekend lines in the NFL. Vegas not showing the Packers quite as much respect as the other 3 home teams, which whatever. And the forecast for Sunday evening in Titletown as of right now, Tuesday evening, is 21 degrees, cloudy, winds light and variable, according to the Weather Channel. Now, that's good, because it was initially, I think, was it Sunday night? Or no, it was week 17. It was the night of the Lions game. The temperature was initially, at that point, was like in the low 30s. And then yesterday, they had it at 25. Now it's down to 21. Getting colder. I like it. Me likey. Let's have that shit way cold. I want that, like, 14 degrees by kickoff. Wind chill, like, you know, let's make it like 5 degrees. I mean, I want that shit cold. It gets kind of cold in Seattle, but it didn't get that cold. Cold. Okay, so now that I've checked off the nuts and bolts, some interesting factoids, and you've heard me rant about how much I hate the Seahawks, don't worry, there's plenty more of that to come throughout the show. Figured we'd kind of really dive in now and talk about these two teams. You know, honestly, when I began studying Seattle, because I haven't watched the Seahawks a ton this year. A little bit here and there, you know, watch the highlights and read up on them as much as you can. But when I really began kind of studying Seattle for this podcast, it kind of shocked me how similar they are to the Packers. At least in some areas, right? And it illuminated how this could be a close matchup Sunday. Here's an interesting stat. I don't know if you've heard this. Seattle is 10-2 in one-score games this year. That's games decided by 8 points or less. 10-2. The Packers, 8-1. So these are two teams that have become very good at winning close ball games. Huge part of their success. Now, one area I do think is different is kind of the narrative around these teams. It's interesting to me that Seattle, you know... We're so used to thinking of them as kind of the Legion of Boom, right? They're not. Really, it's kind of been Russell Wilson carrying them this year. You know, I think a lot of people think they've gotten this far mainly due to the brilliance of Russell Wilson and, you know, Pete Carroll's ability to kind of keep this thing going on the fly. So, I mean, it's certainly impressive. As much as I hate their guts, I hate both of them. Can I just say, I mean, you probably already guessed that, but I despise both of them. Russell Wilson might be the phoniest person in America. I'll say that. Regardless, he's been fantastic this season. I think 31 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. He's been brilliant. He was in the MVP conversation for most of the season. So, you know, you got to give him credit for that, right? And for the Packers, the narrative has sort of been they've had a lot of success despite Aaron Rodgers not playing at the level we're accustomed to seeing him play at. So, it's funny because they're really, you know, of course, how TV works, they're really selling this as Wilson versus Rodgers. But really, the narratives, I don't think, have been that. They've been, Wilson's carried his team, and the Packers, again, have won in spite of Aaron Rodgers a lot of the time. Statistically, thought I'd give some sort of stats on Seattle here. They were 8th in total offense this season, just under 375 yards a game. They were 14th in passing yards per game, 236.9. 4th in rushing yards at 137.5. Now, that's obviously a little misleading because their top two rushers, Chris Carson and Rashad Penny, are both out for the year with injuries. They're leaning on, you know, a rookie 6th-round pick, Travis Homer, and our old pal Marshawn, who they pulled off the scrap heap, pulled out of retirement. More on those two in a little bit. And then 9th in points per game at just a shade over 25. Defensively, as I stated, this is not the Legion of Boom that you might be used to. 26th. The Seattle Seahawks, 26th in total defense per game. 381.6 yards per game. Oh my God. 27th in passing yards per game allowed, 22nd in rushing yards allowed per game, 22nd in points per game allowed, 24.9. Woo! So yeah, I mean, that kind of does fit the narrative that it's basically been an offensive, you know, an offensive-led team, particularly as far as Russell Wilson goes. Now, they're 9th in points per game. This is interesting. You ready for this? The Packers, 9th in points per game allowed. So the NFL's number 9 offense versus the NFL's number 9 defense as far as points per game go. Packers allowing 19.6 per. So that's, you know, I thought that was pretty interesting. That jumped out to me. The Packers obviously weren't as good as Seattle this year offensively. 18th overall, 17th in passing, 15th in rushing, 15th in points per game. Defensively, the Packers were a little bit better. 18th. In yards per game, 14th in passing, rushing in 23rd. This is, again, another interesting stat. The Seahawks, I mentioned, were the 22nd ranked rush defense. The Packers, 23rd at 120.1. So these teams, both teams have really struggled stopping the run this year. Again, more on that in a little bit. Now, I don't want to make this too stat heavy. That was a lot, I kind of threw a lot of numbers at you guys. That's typically not my thing. More of a storyteller, as you know. Or I try to be. But I do have one more fun stat for you, or an interesting stat. Packers and the Seahawks tied for 3rd this year. A key to both team success. Tied for 3rd in turnover ratio at plus 12. Now, Seattle has forced 7 more turnovers, 32 to 25. But of course, that also means they've given the ball up more, 20 to 13. Still, I found that very interesting. So let's go kind of more in depth on Seattle. Now, again, I didn't want to do too much more numbers stuff. I want to talk about their offense. How do I think they're going to attack Green Bay? Now, based on everything you've seen and everything I've just said, you probably think it's going to be Russ Wilson slinging the ball all over the yard. I mean, that makes sense, right? He had a really nice day against Philadelphia. He was, not the numbers here, 18 of 30, 325 yards, 1 touchdown, 10.8 yards per attempt. That is outstanding. Also ran the ball 9 times for 45 yards. So a huge day for Russell Wilson on that one. Now, and hell, he's been great most of the season, right? And then when you factor in the continuing emergence of his top two wideouts, Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf, as Joe Tessitore infamously called him on Monday Night Football during their game against the Vikings a while back. I mean, yeah, when you consider Wilson's dominance and the way Lockett and Metcalf have played, I mean, of course that's going to be the game plan, right? But will it? Here's the thing. I think Seattle is going to make a I think they're going to make a concerted effort to attack Green Bay's suspect run defense. If you've been listening to the show this season, you know it's the thing that concerns me most about the Packers. Even more than Rodgers not playing up to his usual standards, this run defense is still a big... It scares me. I'm worried. I'm worried that they're not going to be able to stop the run. And I've said this before. If they fall short of their ultimate goal of winning the Super Bowl, that's probably going to be the reason why, or the number one reason. Talked about Marshawn Lynch. Did you see him in that first game against Seattle? Looked more like feast mode than beast mode. I think Marshawn's been spending some time at the buffet since he's retired. But he did look a little slimmer last week, I guess, against Philly. So he's rounding himself into game shape after coming in just round. I think he'll be ready for a bigger role in this one. I mean, Pete Carroll basically said that a couple of days ago, that he thinks Lynch is ready for an expanded role against Packers. And Homer, you know, I had to talk about Travis Homer a little bit. Again, rookie sixth round pick out of the U, University of Miami. He didn't do much against Philly. Well, Lynch and Homer didn't do much of anything against Philly. 17 total carries, 19 yards. Lynch did have the one score. But in his first extensive action of the season in the Seattle's regular season finale against San Francisco, game I rooted for them in, and I still feel dirty about, Homer had 10 carries for 62 yards, adding 30 receiving yards. And, you know, more than just the numbers, if you watch that game, he really looked like an explosive player. He looked like a real threat. And I think Seattle's going to, I'm not going to say ground and pound, but I do think they're going to try to take advantage of Green Bay's run defense. Like, the thing is, I don't think they can, you know, I think Seattle is smart enough to know, I think Carroll and Wilson are smart enough to know, they're not going to beat Green Bay in a shootout. As great as Wilson's been, even with the receivers, they're beat up on the offensive line. They're going to be down maybe two starters again, right? Tackle Dwayne Brown, battling knee and bicep injuries, and then guard Mike Iupati, who has a neck issue. I think they know, like, Russ throwing the ball 45, 50 times is not a recipe for success. He'll certainly be throwing a lot, but I think they're going to try to get close to a 50-50 balance. I think they want to keep Aaron Rodgers and maybe more importantly, Aaron Jones on the sidelines. Try to win that time of possession. They lost the time of possession battle against Philly by, I think, like 5 minutes. That worked against Philly. That's not going to work in Lambeau Field, and I think they know that. And I'll be honest with you. I actually feel pretty good about Jair Alexander and Kevin King against Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. That's going to be a hell of a matchup, but I feel pretty good about those two going up against the Seattle wideouts. And I think the Packers will be able to get pressure on Wilson, you know? Lambeau's going to be rocking, and the Seahawks have not protected him well this year. They're 24th in sacks allowed. Now, some of that has to do with Wilson scrambling around so much. That's how he creates a lot of his magic. So Seattle, you know, they'll take the sacks because that's how he does great things. Does it sound like anybody you know? But I think, you know, with the Smiths on the edges and Kenny Clark in the middle of that line, I mean, I think they could really do some damage rushing the passer. So I think Seattle's going to try to negate that as much as they can by running the ball. Yeah, I really do. I think it's going to be an interesting thing to watch. I think the better the Packers' run defense plays, it's mastered the obvious, more success they'll have. You know, and defensively, I'll just be honest, Seattle doesn't scare me much, right? I mean, they were 29th in sacks this year. They did have 7 against Philly, but, I mean, that Philly offensive line was beat up a little bit, too. But, I mean, as I mentioned earlier, they couldn't really stop the run. They couldn't really stop the pass. It gave up a lot of points. I like the way this lines up for Green Bay's offense. If you watch that game last week, the Seattle-Philly game, Philly was consistently getting into Seattle territory. The Eagles just couldn't punch it into the end zone, largely because, you know, Wentz got knocked out of the game. That was a dirty hit from Jadeveon Clowney, too. I think he should have been ejected, personally. But I digress. They couldn't punch it into the end zone because, I mean, they had, 49-year-old Josh McCown as their quarterback. You know, and they were beat to shit at the skill positions, too. I mean, they had Zach Ertz out there. He was battling, like, a lacerated kidney. I mean, you know, they were just so beat to shit. And even then, they were still moving the ball. They settled for 9 points. Now, they could have had 15 if Doug Peterson had opted to kick a pair of late field goals instead of going for it twice and failing to convert. I thought he should have kicked, but again, I digress. You know, and the Packers are obviously much healthier and much more talented than that depleted Eagles offense. At least the offense we saw last week, minus Wentz. You know, I think they're going to be able to get the ball into Seattle territory with some regularity, with a lot of regularity. And I'll tell you what, I think this Packers offensive line could really control things. I do, you know. Bakhtiari had the back issue against Detroit. He left. Belaga had the concussion. They're both back now. If those two are ready to go, ready to rock on Sunday, I think this Packers offensive line could really kick some ass. Yeah. I feel good about this matchup for Green Bay's offense. So I thought I'd do the cliche thing here and give you some keys to winning. It is cliche, but hey, at least I deliver it in a way that's not cliche, you know? All right, so I got three keys here, I think. Three things I think the Packers have to do to win this game. One, this is the big one. Run the bleeping offense through Aaron Jones. If you look at Seattle's defensive performances over the last month and a half, Todd Gurley, Christian McCaffrey, and Kenyon Drake have all had big, sometimes really, really big days against that Seattle defense. And particularly in the case of McCaffrey and Drake, Gurley a little bit, he's not what he once was. But hell, all three. All are really good running and catching the ball. Run the offense through Aaron Jones. Now, here's what I mean by that. Because if you've been listening to the show, and I assume you have, welcome to all the new listeners. You know I've used that term a lot, right? Run the offense through Aaron Jones. And it dawned on me last week, I don't know if I've ever really fully explained what I mean by that. So here's what I mean. If the Packers are going to be running, let's say they run a total of 65 offensive plays, and 60 offensive plays, let's say, in this game, I think at least half should be Aaron Jones' plays, either running the ball or catching it out of the backfield. But it's more than that. When I say run, I mean he should be getting the ball every 3 to 5 plays. He should be getting a touch. I mean, bare minimum. Really, it should be every 3 to 4 plays. He should be getting the ball. You know? Because they've had these stretches this year where he doesn't get the ball. You know, a series or two in a row, and it feels like the offense stalls out. He needs to touch the ball a lot. And then, so say he's getting at least half that remaining 50%. I think probably half of that should go to Devontae. I mean, really, out of 60 touches, I think close to 45 should be going to those two players. You know? Bill Barnwell, I think it was from ESPN, had that stat last week. The Packers were basically the third most dominant offense in football when Aaron Jones was on the field, and something like 28th or 29th when Jamal Williams was. Now, I still think there's a role for Jamal, but it's more as a late game pounder. He's more of a closer. You know, second half, other team's defense is tired. He comes in to finish him off. Jones should be the primary back for most of the first three quarters. That's what I'm talking about when I say run the offense through Aaron Jones. Consistently getting him the ball every few plays. Even if it's not working initially, doesn't matter. Even if it stalls out for a stretch with him, doesn't matter. He's special. He's your best chance to go far in these playoffs. Okay, so my second point. Don't blitz Wilson. Now, you might think, oh, be aggressive. No, no, no. Stay patient. Trust that your front four are going to get to him that's your best shot at success. Because I think so much of Wilson's magic kind of comes on these busted plays, you know? Pass rusher blitzer thinks he's got him dead to rights. Russ somehow pulls the horseshoe out of his butt, spins around, hits a guy 30 yards downfield. I feel like you stay patient against him. I know that kind of goes against traditional playoff thinking, which is you be aggressive. Go to the game, don't let it come to you. But I think with Wilson, I think your odds of success are better if you just rely on your front four. Again, even if it's not working right away, just keep relying on that front four. That's your best shot to limit those big plays, which have been a problem for the Packers defense. Not as much lately, but, you know, they were a problem this year, let's be honest. And then my third point, they're all important, but this one, Aaron Rodgers, stay patient. Don't chase the long ball. Now that one, again, if you've been listening to the show, you know this has driven me nuts. Really the entire season, but especially the last month or so. Rodgers' inability to just focus on the shorter to intermediate throws. You know, Rodgers, I said he's Babe Ruth, man. You know, he's Hank Aaron. He wants to hit it deep. He wants to put it over the fence. But as we've seen, whether it's due to a drop off in his ability or, you know, struggling to learn the new scheme or talent at receiver, whatever it is, it's not happening this year. They need to focus on what has worked. He said it himself last week, I think it was. You know, we need to focus on the plays that have worked. And now I hope they actually practice what they preach. He needs to focus on the shorter to intermediate stuff. Keep the chance. Hey, if it's 3rd and 7, just get 8. There's a novel concept. You know, if it's 3rd and 2, don't throw it 50 yards downfield. Don't chase. This isn't going to be a big, big, big play offense. You know, at least not like it was last time they played Seattle when they rolled in with Jordy and Cobb and everybody else. That doesn't mean it can't be a good offense. It can still be a very good offense. But it's, again, running it through Aaron Jones, focusing on the ground game, and just moving the chains. Which I think could eventually open up stuff for big plays, but that needs to be the focus. Don't chase the long ball, Aaron. Okay, so those are my three big sort of keys for Green Bay winning. I bet you want a prediction, don't you? You know what? Hold that thought. I told people this to submit some Twitter questions, so let's get to those now. All right, first one is from, the Packer, the infamous The Packer Ranter, at Packer Ranter. Now, I said questions, comments, concerns, you just want to say how phony you think Russell Wilson is. The Packer Ranter, now those guys just sent a GIF. It's Olivia Newton-John from Greece. You're a fake and a phony, and I wish I never laid eyes on you. You know what? Ranter, that's 110% true about Russell Wilson, huh? Just the phoniest MF-er on the planet. I can't stand that guy. By the way, the Packer Ranter, those guys say more with GIFs than a lot of people do with words. It's a real skill. They have it. Next question. Oh, speaking of Adam Summers, my bestest friend in the world, my old Bag of Donuts co-host, Brew Crewer at @asummers_time. Do you prefer using the nomenclature of sea chickens or sea pigeons? Thanks for your time. I think sea pigeons, right? Because pigeons are just disgusting. Like, chickens at least have value. You can eat them. Pigeons are just disgusting, disease-ridden bastards. Yeah, sea pigeons. Hell yeah. I like that. Tony at Morton Winnie's dad. I don't say the F word on the show. F the Seattle Seahawks and F Air Monarchs. That is all. Okay, so I didn't know the Air Monarchs thing, but I guess I looked into it. I guess that's a Nike shoe. I mean, I knew it was a Nike shoe. I'm a big Nike guy. But I didn't realize they designed a special shoe for Pete Carroll, or he has some sort of endorsement deal with them. He's the worst. Really. He's the Russell Wilson of coaches. He's the worst. Again, I got more on them. I'm going to close with some stuff on them. And then lastly, this is from Ian at Ian Coppins. If you win the coin toss, do you take the ball on an onside kick to start the game? I don't know if this is a serious question or not. No, I wouldn't. But I wouldn't mind seeing a little trickeration out of this team on Sunday, whether it's like a fake punt or a fake field goal or, you know, I don't know if you want passing the ball, you know, that seems to be a thing now, passing the ball to the quarterback, kind of the Philly special type thing. I don't know if I want to do that with Rodgers. He's had some injuries, but I wouldn't mind seeing some sort of trick inventiveness, trick play type trickeration. Yeah. Spice it up. It's the playoffs, baby. Leave it all on the table. All right. So now you want the prediction, don't you? You know what? I'm going to give it to you. I think the Packers win. I think the Packers win by a final of 24-17. Here's the thing. Now, I said I really like this matchup for Green Bay's offense, and I think they're going to score. I think they're going to score quite a bit of points. Quite a lot of points. And I talked about how... I also talked about how I'm worried about the defense. You know? The run defense. I think Seattle's going to have some success running the ball. And I think Wilson... I think they'll do a good job against Wilson, but the horseshoe is just too far up his ass. You're not going to shut that guy down totally. He'll hit some big plays. It'll drive us nuts. But in the end, I just think that Seattle defense isn't good enough. I don't think they're good enough to come in and shut down Aaron Jones in particular for four quarters. You know, that, and I think Lambeau's going to really be rocking. I think that'll make a difference too. If you're at the game, be loud. Please, for the love of God, please be loud. If anybody tells you to sit down, ignore them. Be loud. Scream your face off. Drink a lot of beers. Be responsible. But if that's what you need to get loud, do it. If that's your spinach Popeye, hit it up. So yeah, I think the Packers are going to win. I just think they're better. You know, I watched, again, that Seattle-Philly game. I thought Philly had a lot of chances to grab that game by the balls, and they just couldn't do it. Mostly because I think they were just so beat up. But I don't think that's not the case with the Packers. I think they'll be able to do it. I think they win. And they're going on to the NFC Championship game. Before I close, I want to do one more round of I Hate the Seahawks. I hope you'll oblige. I hate them. They shit all over what was supposed to be Aaron Rodgers' second Super Bowl 5 years ago. And, you know, the Packers have, you know, obviously Green Bay has defeated them three times since. Now, they lost out in Seattle last year. They've defeated them three times, including beating the dog shit out of them in the 2016 season. But none of that was real revenge. You know what I mean? You only take so much joy from a regular season win over a team you hate if they burned your ass in the playoffs. And while some have said, you know, even if Green Bay wins Sunday, it won't really make up for the debacle in Seattle in the NFC Championship game. And that might be true. Really, that demon probably won't be exercised until the Packers win a Super Bowl again. It'll go a hell of a long way. And you know what? I want blood. I want blood, man. What was it in Attack of the Clones? Execute Order 66? That's what I want. I want Order 66 on these guys. Wipe them out. All of them. Okay. I think I've said enough. I hope you've enjoyed this. Again, I was a little rusty. Thank you for hanging in there with me. Of course, we turn our attention now to the game Sunday. I will be back Sunday night. You'll probably hear it Monday morning. Win or lose, I'm doing the show. But let's hope they win. God damn it. This playoff football is the most beautiful, wonderful, terrible, awful, exhilarating, gut-wrenching thing in all of sports. 60 minutes, can you beat the guy in front of you? No 7-game series, no 5-game series, one game. It's the best. It's the biggest rush in sports. If your team is in it, it's the best. And the worst, but also the best. So yeah, I'll be back. You will hear from me again soon. Again, I would like to thank you so much for listening. Packer Nation, you're the best. I am Chris Lempesis. This has been Lemp's Talking Pack.
Go Pack. Go.